We're in the studio today with Patrick from Makerspace. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Thanks for coming in. Makerspace, it's on Shuswap.
Yeah, we're in that brightly colored building. If you're heading down Shuswap towards the lake, you can't miss it. It used to be the school board building at one point in time. If you've got some vintage people here, maybe some were in there for various reasons. If you're maybe not a very good student, you might have been in there getting a little talking to. So have you been into the Makerspace?
Yes, we both went in last December and
did our Christmas wishes
and took a quick tour. But, you know, we'd love for you to tell everybody what's in there.
Well, it's been kind of 5 years in the making. We started roughly 5 years ago, sort of on a wing and a prayer. But Seminar Economic Development came forward with some funding for us and got us going, and we got the building set up. So what we've created is an interactive space for learning, teaching, creating, and sharing. A common space to turn ideas into tangibles, and a space where you have access to tools and technology you may not have at home. And it's also, we're trying to build it into a community. We've got a number of things down there. We've got a woodworking shop that's very well equipped for a small shop. We've got 3D printing, so current technology. We do robotics courses. We've got a couple of different CNC machines down there. And we've got the laser cutter, which is the hottest or coolest tool around, if you know, depending how you look at it. And we offer training on all of these things. So if you'd like to learn how to do whatever, we can help you out with that.
And what's a CNC machine?
So CNC is, it's called computer numerical control. And it's like you take R2-D2 or C-3PO and you teach them how to use a machine, and then you give them the instructions and away they go. And they can do it very efficiently, very fast, and exactly the same every time.
So you're all equipped for the new AI technology?
We're getting there. Yeah, we're not quite there, but some of us are kind of old school and we're kind of, you know, bridging that gap. Some days seem to be better than others trying to get things going. Like if I'm trying to cut something with a saw and the blade is dull, I can figure that out pretty quick. If I go to turn on the computer and it doesn't give me the answers I want, I'm in trouble. But we have people down there that are really with the program, basically, that can help guide us through that.
How many people do you have on board?
So we've got one staff position there, our coordinator, who just started. We've been evolving for the past 5 years. So she just started beginning of January. She's coordinating all our programs. But we've got a board of about seven people. And some of those are instructors. Most of them are instructors for various programs that we have. We're all volunteers. So we have one paid position.
Is there a nonprofit?
We're a not-for-profit. We just formed our society last year. And so we're working through all the intricacies of all of that. So we've been applying for grant funding. We've got some really sharp people that have really been working hard to apply for grants with various organizations. We're applying for grants because we're not just so we can have fun in the wood shop or the laser. We do a lot of programs with other groups. We just did a repair cafe at the mall last weekend, and we worked with Rotary on that because they're raising funding for a track up at the arena. So we helped out with that, and we helped raise about $500, and that was really, really good. We did a program with Canadian Mental Health 2 weeks ago. They have some clients come in. We do some craft projects. That's about the third time we've done that, and that's just it's a win-win. Like, everybody has a lot of fun. And it's really neat for us that are instructing the program to meet these people, because they're all interesting. We've done programs through the Rotary with Haney for the Children's Museum. So we built a picnic table, we did a sandbox, a little log building set. If you were kids, you had Lincoln logs. Well, Haney's got Haney logs now. We got what we call peeler cores from the plywood plant, and we made them look like Lincoln logs. But they're about 3.5 inches in diameter and all various lengths. So kids can go, and it's a kind of an unplug and play thing where, you know, they can get and they can create and build, you know, build forts and stuff like that. So it's all gone over really, really well. Yeah.
What kind of things did you come across at the repair shop last week?
Well, I wasn't too involved with that because I had a bunch of other things going on. But I think one or two vacuum cleaners came in, a couple of lamps, could be a toaster. There was a wooden door off something. We helped generate revenue to go towards this track, but we also saved some items from going into the landfill. That's the big deal. We're trying to reduce our landfill. I don't know how long you've lived here, but I remember when landfill was a hole in the ground, and now it's closing in on the same height as Little Mountain.
Are you going to be having more repair shops in the future?
Yes. We've been trying to do one a month, has been the idea, because we're all volunteers, depending on who's available. It ebbs and flows a little bit into who we can get to help out. We're lucky to have some people that are smart with electrical apparatus, basically, toasters and vacuum cleaners and that. Sometimes we'll have somebody there that does sewing so they can do some repair work. Some of the woodwork projects, we just have to take them and then take them down to the makerspace and repair them. And then we have the contact information for the person, and then we get back to them. And it was done by donation, so, whatever it was worth to you to get this repaired. So, and it went to a good cause.
I love that show on TV, The Repair Shop. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good show.
Oh, they're fantastic. And I don't think there's any duct tape used in any of these repairs.
You brought in some of the woodworking stuff that's been done over at Makerspace, and it's really quite impressive. There's a lovely birdhouse and a mason bee house.
Mason bee house.
And there was something else you brought. I don't know what it was.
It's a little, it's kind of a rubber band powered car kit that we've developed. These were three projects that were kind of developed to work with youth or intergenerational projects that could work with youth and adults. And we've done a youth and senior theme with this as well. Started with a birdhouse. I was up north visiting some friends, and they got this birdhouse kit from somebody, and they were putting it together. I thought, wow, that's a really good idea that we could do with youth. And so I took a bunch of pictures. I came back, and I've got a background in mechanical design. So I immediately reverse engineered this birdhouse. So created drawings like we would for anything else, and then called in the experts. So I got a biologist and a real bird enthusiast. And so I said, so here's the drawings. So what do you think for birdhouse? And they looked at him and said, well, yeah, but okay. So there's all the little intimate things. So I knew nothing about birds going into this and learned a lot. So things like the hole size where the bird goes in and out, very species specific, because the birds go in and out a number of times when they have the fledglings, you got to make the hole nice and smooth so they don't rip all their feathers off. There's got to be a little ladder system inside. So when the birds, or when they fledge, the little guys can get out, because if it's too deep, they can't get out of the birdhouse. It's got to be ventilated. There's got to be airflow through there. Waterproof, of course. And there's no perches or any little fancy things on the outside, because you don't want predators to be able to get on and get in. And the last thing was that it has to be easy to maintain, in that when the first set of tenants is done with that birdhouse, you've got to clean it out before the next tenants move in. So it's easy to open and clean. Another thing was colors. So you see all kinds of birdhouses in stores, and they're all painted bright colors. No, they look beautiful. Well, birds don't care. They don't like that. They want sort of,
camouflage.
Builder's basic beige, right? So we got one of the building supply stores helped us out with paint, and they gave us some off tints and that, and then gave us a super deal on some other paint. So it worked out really well.
By any chance, do you sell these things?
We do. We're going to be just moving into a session where we're going to start building more birdhouses. So we're going to get some material and get going on that. So we're going to be looking for help to produce those. And these birdhouses, you look at them, and they look a little bit heavy, and they are. They're made out of 3/4-inch plywood or 3/4-inch solid material. If you've been around here for a bit, you remember, I think 2 years ago, there was a bunch of damage done to birdhouses down on the foreshore. And they were smashed off of the posts they were on. And some of them were just disintegrated. All the ones that we built, either they stayed on the posts or they hit the ground, but all they had to do was put them back up. So they're very, very solid. They're designed to last. When we did the project with one of the schools, because we've got our laser engraver down there, so we engraved our logo on the one side, Makerspace, and we engraved the school logo on the other side. So when the kids become adults, and they can see those houses still down there, they'll be able to say, well, I built that. So that was good. And we've got mason bee houses. Again, I didn't know anything about mason bees. And a friend of mine in Victoria got into it. And he's telling me that mason bees pollinate 7 times better than honeybees. Well, we need more pollinators. So I got some information from him, made up some drawings again, send them back down, yes, no. Got the design that works out. And so we've built about roughly 120 of those. We make up a kit, and then we get either youth or youth and an adult or senior in, and they assemble them. So it's another interactive project. And the race cars, the rubber band powered race car, that's more of a youth project. And we've had them come in like for a youth night, and we give them the kits, and away they go, and they assemble up, and then they have a runoff. Probably takes, depending on who's putting it together, like maybe half an hour or 45 minutes to put together. And then they can spend as much time as they want customizing it. And then they wind them up and run them off. So it's fun.
Not only is Makerspace an opportunity to learn technical skills, such as woodworking, but it's also an opportunity for life skills development. Did that just happen naturally, or was that specifically decided on to pursue that aspect?
Well, it didn't happen by accident. It's called the Innovation Center. So one of the ideas was to sort of create that community and bring people in. And one of the projects we've done is working with a group of youth or senior youth, brought them in. I think we had 15, and we split them up. And we had some downstairs in the woodworking, or the industrial area, as we call it. And we had the other half upstairs, and we were teaching them it wasn't solid modeling at the time, it was an AutoCAD course. So just teaching them how to draw in with the computer or design things. And then we switched, and that went over really well. You know, some of them picked up the AutoCAD like that, and it was just amazing because they'd never done it before, but they got it. And then down in the industrial area, so we'd switch them, and we built planters that were about roughly 2 feet wide, 3 feet long, and about 3 feet high. And they really, really got into that. And it was quite interesting with this group of youth, how some of them actually took on a leadership role and would guide some of the other ones that weren't, you know, there was a couple there were kind of, you know, timid and shy and standing back, but most of them kind of knew each other. And so they were doing mentoring on their own. So we were just there to kind of make sure that, you know, nobody cut themselves, and it went really, really well.
That's great.
We've talked about the workshops downstairs. Is there any metalworking as well?
So we've got the general woodworking shop. If you want to come down and use that, it doesn't matter if you've been a cabinet maker for 45 or 50 years, or you've never done woodwork before, but it's something you would like to try. You come down and you have to take this, we call it Woodwork 101. And it will guide you through the process of using those tools. Now, it's about 5 or 6 hours. You're not going to be a carpenter or a cabinet maker at the end of this, but you will learn how to operate these tools, like the table saw, the chop saw, the jointer, the planer, bandsaw. So you will learn about safe operation of those tools, creating a project that uses those tools, and then completion of the course is finishing your project. And then if you want to go on and build more stuff on your own, then you can get a membership, and you know, we've got the information on how that works. But you know, we've got qualified people there to help guide you through, and success is the name of the game, and safety. You know, if you've been a cabinet maker for 45 years, the safety will be second nature, but we're teaching you sort of our rules of engagement and what the expectations are. And it's gone over very, very well. That's the one area. So that's in the wood shop. We've got wood turning. So if you want to do bowls, pens, or spindles, so that's separate. The laser class is one of the classes I teach, Laser 101. And we teach you how to use this, our laser cutter. It's called an HL1060. So it's basically 1 meter by 600 meters. It's a 100 watt machine. And it's very, very fast. The software we use is called Lightburn. And you have to have a little bit of a computer savvy to be able to use this, but it's not extremely difficult. It's 3 sessions of 2.5 hours. The first session is safety, and you learn how to basically use the machine, and we guide you through a little project. Second session is you create another project on your own, and you're kind of demonstrating competency on the machine. Third session is, okay, we're cutting you loose. So now you want to bring some material in and you want to do a big project. It's got to fit in the time frame and fit in the machine. But your imagination is the only limitation. And this laser class is so rewarding because so many people come in from different backgrounds. And once they see this tool, you know, the lights go on and they're just so keen on doing a project. And we've had all kinds of stuff come out of there. It's great. We've got a metal lathe down there. So I instruct people how to use that safely. Now, you're not going to be a machinist in 7 hours, but you're going to learn the basics of the machine. And we do safety relative to that machine. And I do a session on sharpening the tools and grinding drills, so people know how to sharpen a drill at the end of it as well. Sound studio, so to teach you how to record audio and create podcasts or music, whatever you want. It's not my realm, but it's really cool that we've had quite a good uptake on that. 3D printing, so we've got people there that are really good with 3D printing, so we've been teaching that, getting people interested in it. We do some robotics programs for youth, and we're looking at upscaling that into older youth and adults. Jewelry making class, so we jewelry and stained glass, so we're moving to the artistic side. We're really trying to cover all bases. Oh, one more thing, it was sewing, so we're trying to get that bit of an uptake on sewing, because there's people who would like to learn how to sew to repair things. And so we're looking at trying to get some machines in there and teach people how to sew.
Do you have any machines for sewing yet?
Not yet. We've got a person who is kind of looking into that, and they're going to champion that. I know what I know, and I kind of keep my nose out of things that I don't know too much about.
If someone had a particular skill that you haven't covered, would you be interested in throwing courses together for the general public?
Oh, yes. We're always looking for people with new ideas or something, a skill set that they would like to share. We're always looking for ideas for people to do things. You know, I cover the metalwork and manufacturing because that's my background. I do fairly well with that. But, you know, we've got the computer end of things where we've got some fairly savvy computer people there, and we've done programs in the past with adults and youth, getting seniors and youth together. So getting the youth to teach seniors about like how to use your cell phone, like that went over huge, you know, how to use a computer. So when we went into COVID, there's a lot of people were shut in, and seniors weren't able to communicate with their family. And so we were working on programs to get them more familiar with using email and using the cell phone and how to set up a contact list. And we had some young people, way younger than me, that were doing that. And it was great. We had a lot of success with that. So we're always looking for ideas.
So again, that was that community aspect of Makerspace.
Yes.
How would someone get involved? You have subscriptions or memberships or something along that line?
Yes. So we're constantly evolving. So like we just got our society status last year. And so we've made some changes. We've got a board in place, and we're working through all of that. We're always looking for people who would like to help out. Our hours are not limited, but we can extend hours if we'd have volunteers to come down and basically mind the store and like in evenings, and then we'd be open for more evenings. We do have classes that run through the day, which is really good for retired people, but not so good for normal people. And we do classes evenings and weekends. And so we try to balance it all out. But if we can be open more evenings and like Saturdays and Sundays, then there's more access for people to come in. But we don't just want to leave the doors open. So we need somebody to be there and just monitor that and make sure the place gets locked up properly after the fact. And maybe they can bring in a skill set as well. And if you need to contact us, we've got a phone number there, 250-833-0608. The email address is info@saeds.ca. And we're on Facebook as well. Just look for Shuswap Makerspace. And the website is www.innovatesa.ca/makerspace. Now that's a bit complicated, but if you're good with Google, you'll find us.
What was the inspiration for creating Makerspace in Salmon Arm?
Well, there's some of us, we've had various careers doing things, and when you're looking towards retirement, maybe you want something else to do, or some of us just have skill sets we would like to share. And I was able to do that. I taught adults for a while. I worked at a polytechnic in Calgary, and I taught trades for a few years, and that was very, very rewarding. And I'd done that previous with various night school courses, teaching metalwork skills, and actually taught an upgrading course to certify tradesmen. That's all in my background. And there's lots of people that have these skill sets they would like to share, and there's lots of people who would just like to learn things. They're curious, and so they would like to learn a new skill. So the Makerspace concept allows us to put that together. So you can get somebody with a skill set that they want to share and then people who want to learn. And this is a common place. And it's intergenerational. Like I say, young people sharing computer skills with older people. So it goes both ways.
Is Makerspace kind of a unique thing to Salmon Arm, or are there other communities with similar spaces?
Makerspace is not unique to Salmon Arm, but we have a Makerspace in Salmon Arm, and there is not one in Vernon or Kelowna, as far as I know. Okanagan Library System has integrated Makerspaces, but they're great, but they don't have a woodworking shop or metal shop or anything like that. That's kind of unique here. But I've been to, like, Prince George has a Makerspace. Calgary's got about three. Vancouver's got three or four. One in Victoria that I've been to a number of times. They're all over. And in other provinces, Saskatchewan, I subscribe to some of the other Makerspaces to kind of see what's going on and see if we're doing the same things or the right things. And it's all good.
Another question I have is, the colors of the building, I thought it was fabulous. The first time I drove past, I took pictures and threw it up on Facebook and called it the Skittle Building.
Yes.
Because it just reminded me of Skittles, and I thought, this is so pretty.
Yes. Well, it's I had no input on that, but it's great. Like it gets attention. All we have to say is Makerspace, and what's that brightly colored building downtown? And people say, oh, yes, yes. Now I know where you are. It's a great marketing tool because, you know, everybody knows where it is.
And the butterflies, is there any significance to them?
I can't help you out with that either. I'm sorry. That was the Innovation Center. That would be probably Lana Fitt. I think that was her idea. And it's amazing in the summertime, like on a Saturday or Sunday when there's no, you know, people are around town and there's no cars in the parking lot. It is quite common to see groups or families to be standing up against there getting their pictures taken. So the other thing we have there that has not been utilized to its full potential, but there's a rooftop patio up there. And of course, you know, well, actually today might not have been bad up there, but in the summertime, you've got the best view in Salmon Arm looking over the bay. It is just gorgeous.
We interviewed someone from the Innovation Center some years back, and they were talking about doing pop-ups on the rooftop.
Yes, there has been a yoga class up there. Things just got really going, and then COVID, right? And then everything started to go a bit downhill, and we're still pulling out of that. But yeah, that is a great space up there. But, you know, they've got a boardroom in the Innovation Center that we use sometimes, and it'd be great to have a meeting or whatever in the boardroom, and then you can go up on the roof. It's beautiful in the summertime.
We've got the Innovation Center upstairs and Makerspace downstairs?
Yes. So we're in the bottom, the lower level of the Innovation Center. They were kind enough to let us use that space, and now we're working on funding. We're actually paying rent now, so we're working on that.
The Innovation and Makerspace, are they two different societies, or is it all under one roof?
No. Last spring, we became our own entity. We have one member that sits on our board from Innovation Center, but that's one member. The rest of the members are all volunteers with the Makerspace. Because we've got a fairly well set up facility as far as the woodworking shop. So we're always looking for groups to kind of work with because we've got the space. And now we're always looking for people to share their skill sets as well. We've had some really good woodworking guys, but as most of us are retired, some of our people are starting to age out in that they're just getting older and don't have as much energy to spend time out. And
always looking for new faces.
Yes.
Where did you source all the equipment?
When we started, we put together a bit of a budget for equipment. We'd done some planning and we figured, okay, so here's the minimum things we need. And we started looking around and there was a gentleman who was downsizing a space out in Sorrento, and he gave us a couple of truckloads of equipment. So that got us kind of kicked off. So there was, you know, a large bandsaw and a chop saw and a bunch of equipment. So that was really good. I called in some favors from some friends of mine or people that I worked with, and they had some redundant pieces, so we pulled them in. We had funding. We bought equipment to get things going. And then over the years, some of the pieces that we'd acquired that were so-so, we've upgraded. So we've bought a new jointer, a 6-inch jointer. We bought a new 10-inch chop saw. We bought a new 12.5-inch planer. All our major tools are very decent pieces of equipment.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
When we're doing programs with youth, if we've got 10-year-olds coming into the shop to do a project, it's going to be different than if we've got 20-year-olds coming in to do work in the space. And so we have things set up so that they'll still be able to use a lot of the tools. They'll be able to use the bandsaw. They'll be able to use the drill press. They may use a cutoff saw. But everything's fixtured and designed so that they can use it safely. We've got 4 drill presses in that shop, 2 floor standing ones, and then 2 smaller ones. The smaller ones are put on a lower table, so it's at ideal youth height. If we have parts that need a bunch of holes drilled, then we have fixtures or set up so that the parts go in and they can drill and the holes are going to end up in the right place. So we plan for success. So that's worked out really, really well.
Makerspace sounds like a great place to be in Salmon Arm.
Well, it's a lot of fun. And like I say, when we get new people come in, whenever I'm teaching a class, I'm always learning something from the people that are coming in. It's been great.
Sounds like just a tremendous opportunity for both youth and, well, people of all ages in Salmon Arm to learn things that you wouldn't think you could learn in town. It's really quite amazing.
Yes. Well, we've had some vintage people come in and take the course on the laser cutter, and they just love it because it's almost instant gratification. It's quite simple to, relatively simple to use. You can get an image and you can bring it into the laser cutter, and then you can etch that image onto something.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all this information with us. Contact info again for those that might want to get a hold of you.
Contact information, so you can call us, 250-833-0608. You can email us, and it's info@SAEDS, that's Salmon Arm Economic Development Society.ca. Facebook, it's Shuswap Makerspace. The web address is www.innovate.ca/makerspace, or just Google us and you'll find us.
Well, thanks again for coming in.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to talk about the makerspace.